brought to you by Carol Beck and broadcasting live from the Dallas Entrepreneur Center, the Deck at 311 North Market Street, Suite 200 in Dallas, Texas. It's time for Career Advancement Radio, providing information to help enhance your career. Now here's your host, Dr. Marilyn Carroll.
Good afternoon, Dallas, and welcome to today's show. This is a special show. Today's show, I'm going to really talk to you about two topics that are near and dear to many people I know, and that's college loan debt, as well as our social media, our famous LinkedIn site, some of the things in popular press over the last couple of weeks, and this week specifically, we saw on Bloomberg the student loan debt, and organizations are willing to pay the student loan debt off for students. And the second topic, Microsoft and LinkedIn. And what does it mean that Microsoft now has purchased LinkedIn? How can we see that basically benefiting us as the end user consumer? And today with me is a young lady that I asked to join me as we go through, and hopefully she'll be joining me ongoing, Kuma. Kuma is a student at UT Austin. Well, you know what? I'm going to let Kuma introduce herself to you. Go ahead, Kuma.
Hi, nice to be here. And that's right. I'm a student at the University of Texas at Austin. I just finished my second year as a business student, and I'm just really happy to be here.
Welcome, Kuma. And this is just great. I love young energy in the room. It helps tremendously. As our daughter said to us, Mom, you're not relevant unless you have somebody young with you. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to take that as an insult. I'm more so going to take that as I hear what she's saying, that you must be able to reach all audiences. And so therefore, having a younger person in the room who understands what's going on in popular press as far as her age group or their age group is concerned, and blending that with our age group, that makes for a more diverse show. So I took that well. So Bloomberg, student loan debt. Will organizations pay? Well, I know as an educator that there are many students now that are having a hard time pulling together resources or wanting to pull together the financial resources to pay for their student loan debt. And they're saying, how do I get a return on my investment? So our students of today are much wiser than our students of yesteryear, and they're more so thinking about that ROI earlier in the process rather than later in the process. So I thought this is such a relevant topic. It reminds me of the 401k market. That's a market I used to work in before coming over to education and entrepreneurship. And in the 401k market, what would happen is the employer would put in $5 and you may put in $2. I mean, you would put in $5, an employer would put in $2. I wish it was the other way around. That was called the pension plan then. But with this market, there could be some possibility with organizations repaying the student debt for a student. So Kuma, what would you think if an employer, once you graduated from college, I don't know if you're going to go on to get your master's after this degree program, but say you had racked up some debt and your parents had not saved the money or done all the other things possibly needed, or you didn't have a scholarship to go to college, and you had to pay that student loan debt back. What would you think?
Initially, I would be very excited, you know, to hear that, oh my God, an organization or company is going to pay off my student debt. Like, that is so much weight that's off my shoulders. But immediately afterwards, I would ask, what's the catch? You know, no organization, no company is going to just give out money like that and pay off a student debt without having some sort of, not necessarily ulterior motive, but without having some other reasoning, you know, whether it's that the benefits are different or there is something like some specific job that they want you to perform or something, you know, it could be anything.
Right.
But there's definitely got to be a catch there. I would be a little bit wary about trusting whether or not they would actually pay off my student loan debt. And it would make me almost a little uncomfortable if I didn't know a lot more about that company. If they were like, you know what? Yeah, we'll pay it off.
Okay.
So I noticed a lot of folks now, they like to research the company that, you know, they're working for. So I guess that's the new trend.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that that would be part of the research Kuma was talking about when she was saying, you know, I want to know specifically what's in it. What's the bottom line here? Because people just don't pay debt off. But I realize this. If a company took the, typically it's about $5,000 they give a year towards education for their current workers. So if you're giving $5,000 toward education for your current workforce, to get additional work person into your workforce, what if I was willing to use that same $5,000 to say I will help subsidize the payment process that you have for your current student loans if you would come on board with me? So that would mean that I would have to stick with you for 4 or 5 years to pay off that student debt. So no one, as you stated, is going to give you anything for free. There has to be ties to that. Then we have to think about what's the tax liability on that $5,000 that you're receiving. Whereas now the employer can take a write-off up to $5,000, and anything over that $5,000 that's given in income or subsidy for towards education, the employee has to pay taxes on that. Because still, up to $5,000 is not taxable to you as an individual, but anything over $5,000 per year would be taxable to you. So that would have to be some of the things in consideration. But you probably could use the student loan payment process to pay off that debt as a bonus program. We don't see as many companies giving bonuses anymore, so this could be a good way to dangle something in front of them to get some of the top talent. But then again, some of the best talent that you receive may not come with any student loan debt at all because they probably had a full ride scholarship when they went to college. So here you may not be looking for the highest hanging fruit of those that have the ability to pay that debt, but maybe you're willing to help out some of them that some of the students that may have gone on to get a master's degree and have that debt because that's not paid, or went farther than the master's and probably did some certification programs or something like that.
No, I definitely agree with that. Because, you know, the amount of debt that students actually end up with after college, it varies all the time. So, you know, like you said, you could have top talent who have zero student loan debt, but you could also have top talent, you know, if they go to a place like Harvard or Stanford where student debt is prevalent. It runs rampant there, you know? So, you mm-hmm. know, having a bonus program, actually, that would be very good incentive. It's, you know, not calling it student, like you're not really calling it, hey, I'm going to pay your student debt off. But it's like, hey, at the end of the year, depending on how well you do, here's a little extra for you, you know, and that can definitely go to paying student, you know, student loans off, which if they phrase it that way, I would be more inclined just because it seems like less sketchy in a way mm-hmm. because I like, you know, companies are known to give bonuses and things like that. I've seen companies give bonuses out. And so I'd be like, okay, this is normal. This is something I see more often than, hey, let me pay your student debt off, you know?
Mm-hmm. So if it can, I want to make sure I have this clear. So if it came in the form of a bonus and not necessarily just say, this is for your student loan debt, that would work.
That would be more, that would be something that I just register better. You know, it would make mm-hmm. a little bit more sense to me. Now, to your point about the 5,000, after 5,000, you know, it is taxable. So as someone who is already, you know, in the process of paying student debt, you know, having to also be like, okay, well now I have to pay taxes on the money that I'm getting for student debt. Like, in a way that would seem a little bit, it would seem slightly counterproductive, even though taxes are definitely not as high as, you know, what I would be receiving for student loans. But if I got up to 5,000 where I don't have to worry about taxes, that also keeps me locked into that company for a while. Like you said, if it's a company that I enjoy working for, then that's great. That's fantastic. You know, that gives me even more reason to want to be there and want to stay. But if it's a company that I don't want to work for anymore, then, you know, that student loan, it has a lot of staying power, I guess, And so that becomes something that you really have to juggle. Okay, do I keep up with this job that might make me miserable because it'll pay off my student debt? Or do I try looking for another job and try to finance my student loans myself?
Yeah. What I keep hearing here is a common theme. I don't want to get roped in. So
that, and
thank you so much for sharing that. I don't think that we talk enough to college students or people that this would impact, new rules and regs would impact. I don't think we talk enough to them to figure out, okay, how does this really work, or how would it work, or how would they feel? So once we post this, we're going to post this out on our Twitter feed and LinkedIn feed, as well as Facebook and other social media genres. And we'd love to hear, once you see the posting of this, we'd love to hear your feedback as to how you feel about this. And if it's not you, if you have kids that's in college, we'd love to hear the feedback. And what we'll do, since I am a researcher, I will take that information and tabulate it, communicate it to the audience to give them an update of how that show went and what was the information from the show. But also I would send that to some of the people that wrote the article from Bloomberg and others to say, hey, here's our thoughts on this. They may take it and put it in the trash, but at least they had an open view of others who are in college and those that have been through college to say, I don't know, because there is a lot of iffies about this, and we'll make sure we pinpoint those things to them because the tax liability can be something that is major to deal with, even with the bonus structure, because at 41% tax, if you're given that bonus up front, $5,000 just as a bonus is taxed at 41%. Whereas if you give it to the student as a payment towards student loan debt and you make it specifically towards that, if they could figure out a way to pay that without it being taxed to the student as at 41% and instead shows as an education opportunity. Okay. So let's see. That may be enough on that topic. Let's move to the next topic. And our next topic is Microsoft LinkedIn. What does it mean? Well, I love this topic. I love LinkedIn and I love Microsoft as their product. I think LinkedIn has an awesome product. I could see it needing additional technology. There's one thing LinkedIn doesn't do that I'd love to see it do, and I won't mention it necessarily on the radio here. But there is something definitely missing there. Something that a lot of people, since we are going to be known to have several careers in our lifetime. Just this morning, I was working on a client's resume, and that client resume, they've switched jobs several times over the last 10 years. And, the application process is a strain. If it takes someone 2 to 3 hours to complete an application, application after application, at some point they get tired and say, that's enough of that. So sometimes I believe we may not be getting the best of talent because of the long, arduous process involved in the application process that we have applicants go through. The other thing here, from a Microsoft standpoint, Microsoft gave us stability. They gave us a product that we could count on each and every time, the Microsoft Office products we use constantly. I see if Microsoft and LinkedIn combine together and use Microsoft as that still having that mindset of something you can continuously use. We're going to charge you once. We're not charging you 15 times for it. We're charging you once. Here's the product. And we're giving back to education to continue to educate others. If they take that same mindset with them with the LinkedIn product, I think that this is a winner. What are your thoughts?
So I personally didn't get into LinkedIn until a couple of years ago, but I absolutely love it. I have been able to connect to a lot of different people, and it's provided me with a lot of different opportunities. A lot of different things have come up. Now, one thing I have noticed about the way that students use LinkedIn now is that it's starting to turn into kind of like a Facebook thing where they will add anyone and everyone, whether they know them or not, just as long as a name is even slightly familiar, they will add on LinkedIn. And for its, you know, connection to Microsoft, one of the things that I have seen is that obviously Microsoft has their own phones and things out now. So one thought that I found that could be very useful is to minimize the, I guess, willy-nilly adding of people on LinkedIn is, since Microsoft can have access to your contacts, use that to kind of filter out, okay, who do you really need to be adding on LinkedIn? You know, do I need to add that person that I met at some dinner party 5 years ago and I only recognize their name because they've come up in conversation a couple times? Or do I add someone who, yeah, I may, you know, I may not know how to talk to them as well, but I do know them very well. And there's potential there. You know, like it's, I feel like having Microsoft use its ability to, I guess, sync the contacts in your phone or the contacts in your email to LinkedIn will definitely provide, I guess, better, better recommendations and suggestions of who you need to be adding on LinkedIn.
Excellent point. Excellent point. I think that, when you're using LinkedIn, it can be very beneficial to you. And it takes time to use LinkedIn right. I know every morning I spend time, I have over 1,000 LinkedIn connections. Well, that could be normal for me because I have taught over, I would say, 6,000 students over the last 4 years of my academic career. So that would be normal as their teacher if they asked me for a recommendation or to connect with me and I gave them some feedback at that time or I remember them. That's what you're supposed to do. Then in addition to that, working in business for over 20 years, in the industry I worked in, I met a lot of people. So those individuals are on my LinkedIn account as well. Other than that, unless it's a teacher or someone trying to get a job or connect with me, they may ask to link in with me, but I do not let them in that door because I don't want everybody looking at my profile and looking at that information. So in order to maximize this, to your point, not only your recommendation, but also taking things a little bit further where you see that if there's a job or a company you want to connect to, and based on that company you want to connect to, you want to ask for recommendations. And I think this is part of LinkedIn now. You want to ask for recommendations from that individual to connect you to someone else. I have a recommendation or to connect you to someone else in that organization that can help you get a job. So I would not use LinkedIn mindlessly. I would have some thought process and a strategy around how I would utilize LinkedIn to make it the best for me. Now, Microsoft. Obviously, LinkedIn has the most users of anyone. They have probably just as many. I don't know this for sure. I didn't take the time to look this up. If they have more users than Facebook. I know Facebook users are on more than LinkedIn users are. But if I wanted to connect to business in a serious way, LinkedIn would be the way I go. If I wanted to connect to Facebook, back to your point, that Facebook or LinkedIn was beginning to look like, or people were beginning to treat LinkedIn like Facebook. Facebook is about social connections, everyday life. Even though I see more and more people using it to try to build businesses up, and Facebook has seen that, realized that, and trying to do other things to bring intertwine, like like Periscope came out, and so Facebook has its own on-demand video process that can go on. But other than that, other than the business prospects there, you're going to get more business from LinkedIn because it's already connected to all the human resources managers. It's connected to the businesses because it is connected to HR. It's connected to other small businesses, even our business. Carol Beck has a connection through LinkedIn where we receive referrals through LinkedIn of other people that's looking for RFPs to be completed for their company, and they need someone to fill those RFPs. So LinkedIn is a powerhouse if used properly. and if it's focused properly. And then the whole thing with Microsoft, the technology, and that's what I sense that from a LinkedIn perspective, that LinkedIn doesn't necessarily have the best, the creme of the crop, I'll put it like that, technology platform they could possibly have. And this is where Microsoft and LinkedIn can marry together, because over the last 3 to 4 years, LinkedIn has made some purchases, like with Lynda from the education piece, and then a couple of other smaller acquisitions that they've made. And now they've been acquired, and Microsoft, this is the biggest, I believe, in history. I couldn't find any others that had been this big that Microsoft had done. And for the two that combined together is just awesome. Wouldn't mind being on the forefront of this particular venture myself, especially this one thing I'd like to see them do. But in the grand scheme of things for the consumer, which is what we're talking about today, from that perspective, your contacts, I don't know, this could be a, there's always a bad with a good.
Yeah, this is definitely a very gray area, just because, you know, like you have people who are very, very private and mm-hmm. would shut that down immediately. And then you have people who are like, well, yeah, why not? You know, it's not a big deal. And I guess where the lack of need of privacy comes from is the fact that, you know, if you, for example, if you have an Android phone, your life is pretty much run by Google, by the Google app, the Google Play Store, you know. So Google has complete access to what you're doing, even if you don't really realize that they do. But most people don't give that a second thought. And sometimes I think even for Apple, you know, the fact that you do, like, it is more secure. I will give Apple that. Apple is very, very secure, but they still do have access to those kinds of things, because you make, it all comes from the fact that you have to make an account with both of these mm-hmm. app stores, you know. And so that's where, you know, syncing up contacts becomes very, very much a gray area. And it again, that comes to personal preference. If you don't mind sharing that information, then it's great. And if you have an issue with it, then it's like, okay, what can we do to, you know, make it so that it's, you know, it's friendly for you to use, but you still feel secure. And mm-hmm. I think that's also where Microsoft and LinkedIn come in together. That's going to be a very symbiotic relationship for the consumer, because like you said, Microsoft has years of technology background behind them, and LinkedIn has that very professional, very upfront, and I guess almost, it's not that it's user, it is user friendly, but it's just, it's very familiar. So, and it's something that, you know, you have on your phone, you can go to on your laptop or on your PC or your tablet or whatever it is that you have. Bringing that technology side with the more, I guess, the public view side,
yeah,
they can both really help each other and make, you know, their joint venture something that is very consumer friendly, that we would all be like, you know what, LinkedIn is exactly what I need to use. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to be looking at. And this is how I really want to connect to people professionally.
Excellent. Excellent. And that is a point well taken. And I also concur. So you got it. You got it from the new generation, and you had that from the generation, the millennial generation was the new, and the older generation, I'm on that cusp of 64, 65, two generations I cross over, but it's all good. So basically, bottom line, I'm saying you got it from all around. And I think that this could be interesting. And I want to be careful with what I say. I want to see this done right. And I do think with some stability from Microsoft and then that newer product that's coming in from LinkedIn, I do think that we have some, there's some potential for something excellent. And I am going to make sure I'm watching this one for sure very closely. And like I said, some type of way, I think I'm going to write to both the CEO of Microsoft as well as the CEO of LinkedIn and make some suggestions. They may not go far. Okay. They may not go far, but it may help us in the end to make sure that there's some voice, somebody out there listening that has nothing to do from a profit standpoint from either product. So what does this all mean today? We're wrapping up our we're going to call him our producer. He's been hanging in there with us. He's telling us we got 5 minutes left. So I told you time flies, I guess, when you're having fun. And I have definitely, yes, I have definitely enjoyed you listening to Kuma's insight on what's going on. And this is a funny kind of interview today because Kuma is here interviewing or listening to me and seeing where I'm going and to see if my product or my company is something that she'd like to work with. And I'm interviewing Kuma to see if we're a good match. and so in the end, there may be other opportunities for Kuma as well. But I took this opportunity to say, because I would want the person that I bring in is going to sit across from me and do exactly what Kuma has been doing today. And it's great. I think it'll be a great opportunity for them to get their name and recognition out based on what they want to do in the future, as well as help us to grow and to bring that youthfulness to our show. So I'm excited about that. So LinkedIn, Microsoft, as well as student loans and all of that. What does it all mean? Well, we are Career Advancement Radio. And as Career Advancement Radio, we thought those two topics were very hot topics and should be discussed so that our audience gets a feel with that and knows a little bit more about what's going on. And our audience, most of them, 99% of them, use LinkedIn or Microsoft products, as well as a good bit of the people that views or sends me letters and information or sends me emails and texts are talking about student loans and how student loans is really having a negative impact on their life and how they pay those loans. I think that in the bottom line, when we started getting student loans, it wasn't as much information about the backlash from that. And I think that a lot of people thought that they could get jobs, not necessarily in their degree major, because you're foolish on that. A degree is just one part. It's not necessarily going to be where you go and work all the time. I mean, my first degree was in accounting, and I did work in accounting, but at the same time, I ended up on the other scale, the other end of accounting working. And my PhD is in business and technology, but I ended up working teaching. And not necessarily that wasn't my goal to be in teaching, but I saw that as an avenue where I could add value. When all is said and done, the student loan debt that we have may not necessarily pay for things, but there are great ways, and we're going to have a seminar in the next 2 months, and possibly we're going to have it down at the deck where we're broadcasting from today, where we talk to people about how to make the most of college without accumulating so much debt to pay for it, even if they don't have a savings. So our today's show has been with our guest, Kuma.
Thank you so much for having me. I've definitely enjoyed being here.
Great, great. And we're coming from you from the deck today. And it's been a wonderful show. We hope that you guys enjoy it. And we'd love to hear your feedback. You can write us at Career Advancement Radio X, or you can contact me at Marilyn at Carol Beck, CarolBeck.com. Marilyn at CarolBeck.com. Or you can contact me by phone at 214-301-1664. That's 214-301-1664. Thank you for joining us today.